Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins. A rematch, 49 years in the making, comes true in St. Louis tonight.
Oh, that's so horrible. 49 years in the making, a rematch? Is this a rematch? Is this a rematch?
No, of course not.
Oh,
sure,
it's so stupid.
Suck it, Felger.
It's so dumb.
Let's talk about the goal from Bobby Orr.
A rematch, 49 years in the making. If you said Cardinals, Red Sox, I might give that to you. You've had a few. In 47 or whatever. In
46.
In 67, blah, blah, blah.
67.
Yeah, okay. And
2013.
And on 13 and in 04, right?
Oh, yeah, 04, too. Yeah,
okay, so fine. I'll give you Cardinals, Red Sox. Maybe. Maybe. I don't even want to give you Rams. You know, I know they're not even there. I'm not giving you rematch 49 years ago in the expansion. No, that's so dumb.
Exhibit A of how this is a rematch.
Krug is Bobby Orr. This is dumb. This Photoshop.
Tell you what, I'm really looking forward to Packers Chiefs rematch of Super Bowl I.
This is what I'm talking about. Oh, it's so dumb. St. Louis Radio. I don't mean to dump on St. Louis Radio. They're doing just what everyone else is doing, except for here. Not here. You won't hear about Bobby Orr's goal or Backus going back home.
Just going to keep adding that to my updates.
You'll have to go somewhere else for those topics.
4:30.
Okay, so what was I going to get to? Two things we haven't gotten to. Coaching matchup. Who gets a check mark?
So I don't know a lot about Berube. I got to find out more. So I don't want to sit here and like, don't. I'm not going to pick yet as a point because I'm not informed enough on it.
So,
but his reputation as a player was a hardworking, grinding, tough guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'll just jump in. I don't know a tremendous about, you know, exactly what he's done. You know, I know he made the goalie change and I know, you know, he replaced Yao or how you pronounce his name in the middle of the year. And he was a ball buster of a player, no question about it. Tough, cheap, tough player. I want to say it's a little bit of the Rod Brind'Amour thing. Because same era, another, you know, gritty player who's now gotten a coaching job, except it's not his first job. He was in the Philadelphia system. He coached the Flyers for a year. And so I think that was Brind'Amour's first job. And he's really, Brind'Amour sort of new to coaching. And maybe that came through. But Ruby, not quite as much. Not quite as much. I mean, his experience level is still less than Cassidy's, but comparable to it. So it's really hard for me to give you. I want to say Cassidy because I think he's got a little more experience than Berube. But I don't know how anyone here, other than a real hockey Krishna, could break that. I mean, you don't know Craig Berube and his moves. You don't know what he's done to motivate players. You don't know what he's done between his second and third lines. You don't know who he's moved up, who he's moved down. You have no clue what he's done with the bumper on the power play. So don't pretend like you know if Berube's a good coach or not. You don't know. I don't pretend to know.
The one thing I can tell you is that as a Bruins, you know, on the Bruins side of it, I feel pretty good about Cassidy.
You absolutely should. He's got he's in a good place with that team right now. No question about it.
He's got a great sense of his team. He really does. And again, just like look at the moves or non-moves with Pasternak and the first line and break it up, keep it together. It feels like what he's done at the right time has worked. So he broke it up a little in the Toronto series. They got some results. They kept it together later on in the playoffs, and they got results. So it feels like he's got a knack, and when they've lost, you know, they lost McAvoy, he was able to put pairings together, and they were able to endure it.
You just don't know what the equivalents are in St. Louis.
No, you don't. I mean, that's why I tell you, I can't definitively sit here and say to you that the Bruins have the edge, because I don't know about the other guy.
I mean, he's...
But I can tell you on this side of it, you should feel pretty good about it.
He's obviously done something right there, because there are many changes. You know, you remember when we were going to the trade deadline, there were rumors about
Tarasenko,
about Blues players, getting Blues players here.
Yeah.
And that St. Louis was selling.
Yeah. Maroon, another one.
Okay. So Maroon, Tarasenko, Bomeister, there were guys that you thought were on the block there in St. Louis. And they probably were for a time. And so he had to coach through that distraction. And then again, I just point to this bad goal that was allowed by the league, that hand pass goal. You know, like we say, the Bruins, they've gotten the short end in a couple of these games, and they just plow right through it and show good resiliency. Well, what did St. Louis do? They went 3-0 and outscored the Sharks 12-2 after that goal. So Berube's got something there going on too.
I mean, they got grit. Grit, and you know, to me, that's sort of a four-letter word for resiliency, right? They will fight through stuff. I don't think there's any issue with that. So I just think, you know, again, I look at their size on D, the way they play in front of their goalie, their willingness to go to the net, and San Jose's unwillingness to go there, which was apparent. Like, I think they're legit. I do.
So whosever decision it was to go to Bennington, he was fourth on the depth chart when the season started in St. Louis. So whether that was Berube or I think the GM's Armstrong, whoever that was, you know, huge credit there. On Bennington, that's another thing we haven't hit on. He was with the Providence Bruins last year, okay, because St. Louis lost their AHL affiliate. They did not have an AHL affiliate. So they had to loan out their players to different AHL teams. Or they sent some to the ECHL, but Bennington said, screw that, I ain't going back to Kalamazoo or Timbuktu or wherever you're sending me. I'm not going to the E. I'm not going to the ECHL. I'm not going back to AA. You have to keep me in the AHL. So they loaned him to Providence. I looked it up. I looked at the Bruins training camp roster last year, and he wasn't on it. So it stands to reason that he wasn't with the Bruins training camp. He was with the St. Louis training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the AHL season started, he just joined the Providence Bruins. So I just want to know that, because has Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand, has he shot on, have they practiced with this guy? Have they gone against Bennington in practice? And I don't think so. And I, you know, maybe a hockey guy, Hags or Ty Anderson, someone listening, you can tell us. Did the bulk of the Bruins roster ever cross paths with Bennington? I don't think so. I think it's guys like Connor Clifton and Heinen, and I'm missing one more. Another player who's on the squad right now who crossed, like maybe Achari or someone like this, who went through Providence last year, or maybe Corral. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you off the top of my head. But those kind of guys. Whoever would have been sort of back and forth between Providence and Boston last year would have played with Bennington. I don't think he ever crossed paths with the majority of the Bruins roster.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say is, you know, word can travel through the coaching staff too, right? So, like, coaches that worked with him that know, well, he does this or doesn't do this.
Well, so that's my next question. Did he work with goalie Bob? Did he work with... He had to have, or is it one of those weird situations, because that's not your player. He's just going to play net. It's like men's league when the goalie who plays a 7 o'clock game plays the 9 o'clock game because the team that shows up at 9 o'clock, their goalie's drunk or something. And so the guy, you know, he's just going to play in the games for you. Don't coach him. Don't give him anything. He's not your player. He's our player. And so... Like, how did that all work? I'm curious about all
that.
It's
a good question. I don't know. But all I'm saying is they still watched him.
And so my point is, who benefits from that? Does Bennington have inside knowledge on you, or do you have inside knowledge on him?
To me, if it's any, it's probably nothing. Okay? But if it's anything, I think it actually benefits the Bruins.
Me too.
Because who's he going to learn about? Senishin?
Carson Kuhlman, right? So he can tell me that Carson Kuhlman likes to go high glove when he's in alone.
Great.
Big deal.
Yeah. When's he going to see that? Like, you know, to me, no, the benefit is more that somebody in the Bruins organization got to see him for an extended period. And again, I'm not even sure that's worth anything. He might be a different player now. Who the hell knows? Like, they're probably going to go off of film from the playoffs more than anything else. But if there's anything to gain, I think it's on the Bruins side, not on the St. Louis side.
Has to be. Did he work with the coaches, or was he just there to play?
Well, the call is out. I can't speak to that, so hopefully we'll hear from someone.
Like, that's that dynamic. So it's Leach down there, right? Is it Jay Leach is the name of the coach? I mean, Cassidy was down there forever. He's got to know, you know, All the guys, the Zamboni driver, for crying out loud. Cassie's got to be dialed in like you read about down in Providence. Never mind, it's just their organization. And so, did he take individual instruction from you or not? Was he sort of off limits like that? Like, how does that all work? Can you imagine that? Because Binnington is kind of out of nowhere, but not really. He was a third-round pick of the Blues. He's still a prospect in their system. Can you imagine, like, a big prospect for the Red Sox, you know, Andrew Benintendi in AAA? Yeah, no, what, you know what? We're going to give him his last year in AAA to the Cleveland Indians system, and you got him.
Yeah, he's working out with the Reds.
Can you imagine that? Like, that ever happening?
No, it's bizarre. It is. It's extremely bizarre. And, like, I even wonder, so how did they communicate? And when I say that, were they sending game film out to the, or did the Blues have someone in attendance watching them?
Right.
Like all of it.
Right.
I would think you'd have an evaluator or a scout watching him. But at the same time, what if, you know, the guy's got how many scouts can you have?
Because
every kid that you have is playing in some other system.
And I'm sure different organizations teach the position differently. Right. When the puck's in the corner, we want the goalie to do this. No, we're an organization that wants our goalie to come out and play the puck, so when it's over here, we want him behind in the trapezoid. Yeah, we're an organization that believes the goalie's got to stay put, so all that different stuff. Like, there's got to be little nuances there. Binnington's someone else's team. He's someone else's property. You're allowed to coach him the way you wanted to coach him, or did you have to do what St. Louis told you to do? Either way, I think, unless Binnington was in your training camp and practiced against Bergeron and those guys, I think Binnington only played, and Carson Kuhlman might be a bad example because he just came on this year, right? But you know what I mean. The sort of tweeners that Binnington might have some knowledge on. So Connor Clifton, who he did play with, he knows that. What's that going to do for him? But you and your coaches, don't you know something about him? I mean, he traveled with you. He was on your buses. That you know what makes him tick, what his weaknesses are?
You would think.
Where the bodies are buried? You know, that time in Albuquerque that he, X, Y, and Z, you know. Hanrahan! I know!
Yeah, look, again, I mean, there could be any one of a million. You would think that they would know something about the guy. And, I mean, somebody somewhere has got to know if he was there for that length of time. Somebody somewhere has got to know something.
I just find that whole dynamic, like, only in hockey, man. Only in hockey.
I'll tell you, I still have my questions about that guy. I don't know. There's a little bit of a rapid ascent, and like that can create all types of false perceptions and realities. Like, I don't know how disciplined or how good he really is yet.
Back to your phones right after this.
The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. Then the wrench. Then the towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I do think St. Louis is a bit our twin. When you watch them, they're very similar to us. San Jose, a little different style of play. But we're comfortable. We feel good against, obviously, whoever had advanced at St. Louis now. Should be a great series. We just want to, like I said, the rest is good for us. I do believe that. Like, there was a lot of talk about, I really think this time of year, guys getting a little time off is fine, and we'll be ready to go on Monday. They play four lines. Their fourth line is a good checking line. They've got top end skill. Obviously, Schwartz is on fire. Tarasenko's can be O'Reilly's like a Bergie, you know, good two-way guy. Their third line plays in all situations, like we've used Coyle. Their D is bigger than ours. That is one difference. Our guys can move the puck, but they're bigger. Goaltending advantage, I think, listen, they like their goalies playing well, but I think Tuukka's the better of the two. I'm biased in that way, obviously. You got two teams that had real good second halves, known for, physical play, but both can skate. So I really believe they're very similar to us. When we went up there, it was a 1-1 game, went into the shootout at home here. I think we scored late to win. So, should be a lower scoring heavy series, but I guess till we get out there, we'll see. But that's kind of what I see out of them right now.
Cassidy breaking it down this morning on Toucher and Rich. Again, the full interview on 985thesportshub.com, the 985thesportshub app. A couple different things there. He says the Blues are our twin, which is what I like about this series for the Bruins. I don't think the St. Louis Blues are an explosive team, and those are the teams that would concern me, which is why San Jose concerned me more. It's why Toronto's a tough matchup, why I think Tampa would have given you real problems. I think those are the teams that really impact the Bruins, because the Bruins are not the fastest team. Between Krejci, Bergeron, Backes, Chara, Carlo, etc. I think there's guys from a speed standpoint, and not Bergeron so much. But the Bruins get put on their heels when they face these fast, explosive teams. And that's not really St. Louis. They don't really push the issue. So I think that's a good matchup for the Bruins. Another thing I found interesting about that cut is that he's not afraid to say, I think Tuukka's the better of the two. And then he walked it back a little, but that's just my opinion. They like their guy too, but yeah, I know you would have thought on that.
Well, just the comment surprised me, because the way he said it was sort of like, I think we have the better goalie. And I know that if I were on the other side, I would grab that and make sure that Binnington make sure he heard it. Like, and again, I think Cassidy kind of caught himself, because he is so honest. He actually answers questions, right? So you ask him, assess the series, and he assesses it. He doesn't give you the old...
Yeah, look, we're just trying to get ready for a game like we do every other team.
That Belichick would give you. He actually answers the question. So, again, I know if I were St. Louis, if I were Berube, I'd grab that cut, and I'd stick a copy of it in Binnington's locker.
Scott and Weymouth, what do you got for us today?
Sorry.
Scott! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number, obviously.
Breaks my heart.
We've got Mark in Hopedale. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys, how's it going? So today I wanted to talk about Carlo and Pastrnak, as I think this is going to be a pretty big series for both of them. Carlo's been good in these playoffs, but not perfect. He still turns the puck over a little too much in the defensive end for me, and I think he could get exposed by these checking lines. I think guys like Krug and Greslick take hits better than he does. And then Pastrnak's been a reliability for most of the playoffs. Most of his goals have come from 63 and 37 creating the plays. He's only has one one-timer goal. In that Carolina series there, and the rest have been, right time, right place, right time tips for him. They both need to prove that they have the mental intangible that you need for these playoffs.
Okay, I'll give you Pastrnak more than Carlo. Carlo's had some turnovers you haven't liked. I'm not telling you he's been perfect, but I feel like Carlo's played within himself more than Pastrnak. There's been games of Pastrnak where it's just...
out to lunch.
All over the place.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
Scattered.
He was better in this last series, though.
Yeah, but it didn't. It's like hard to tell.
Compared to how he looked at times during Columbus.
Yeah, no.
We thought he might have been on something, or who the hell knows.
I'm just saying, given the competition, like, I don't know. You can't have Pastrnak on the power play in the Stanley Cup final, floating around on the blue line, giving the puck over for odd man rushes the other way. You just can't have it.
So I wonder if this layoff could help him, because So if there has been, if there was any sort of recurrence of that hand injury or thumb injury or whatever the hell it was, that, it's a week and a half now. I mean, maybe that's a good opportunity to let it heal. Maybe because he was throwing pucks all over the place. I mean, really, like, to the point where you wonder if his entire arms are made of cartilage, for crying out loud. He had no control over anything. So I wonder if there was a physical problem there, maybe the week and a half helps him out a little bit.
We've got, I don't want to keep this guy hanging on all day, but can we do this on the podcast? Jeremy Westbro, you have 20 seconds.
Listen, I'll give you a hockey take as well. Every time Rask has come up against a goalie that was touted as a better goalie, was doing so well, he's elevated his game. All right, that being said, St. Louis is a fluff hockey town. I lived there for 5 years in the early 2000s. Great baseball town. Biggest Blues fan I know is my cousin. You know, he's got hanging in his bedroom a signed Bobby Orr jersey. If somebody were to give me a signed Eli Manning jersey, it'd be the bathroom mat in my floor. So it's a flop hockey town. When I lived there, we could go to games for cheaper than the cab ride, and I live 5 miles from the stadium.
Okay, so it's a fluff hockey town. Agreed. It's the South, for all intents and purposes. Missouri, and it's the South.
It's the Midwest, but sure.
It's not. It's really more Southern than Midwestern. It is. I mean,
it
I think
literally
so.
Has the gateway to the West.
Yeah, I know. I'm just telling you. I mean, I grew up in the real Midwest, and the Missouri and St. Louis, but does anyone care about this?
No.
This is for the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, his comment line said restaurant recommendation for Murray.
I'm glad we didn't get that far.
Do that online, please.
Hit me up on Twitter or email me.
Listen, yeah. Murray's going to take us to some joint that looks like it's about to fall to the ground and has the best ribs you've ever eaten.
That's exactly what everything's like out there.
That's Murray's kind of joint. He's not bringing you to a place with nice mood lighting.
Get ready to wait for 40 minutes for ribs.
I don't care about the market. I don't. I care about beating that team and winning a championship. You can do the travel show online, okay?
Can't wait.
Here's Wayne.
Treat yourself.
Wayne in Grafton. Go ahead, Wayne. Hello, Wayne. Okay, what's happening here? James and Lynn, go ahead, James.
Hi, guys. What about the Sedin twins from Vancouver for not winning championship? Biggest losers in NHL history.
Okay, they're up there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, those are good ones.
How long did they play?
Oh, well, 15 years at least.
Was it that long?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
In 2011 now was 9 years ago, 8 years ago, and they were in the league at least 3, 4, 5 years until then.
Maybe you're right.
No, they've played a crap ton. The Sedins are on the list. You bet 2-4.
I always thought they were super soft. I would never consider them. Well, Paul Kariya then.
2-4 losers.
So that's
Kariya won one. He won in Anaheim.
He did.
He did win with Anaheim.
Yeah,
right.
He did. He won one.
I'm thinking about 3 when they lost.
No. So look, again, the one similarity is I think a lot of these guys, with the exception of Iginla, I'd have to think about some of the others, were finesse players. Thornton's a finesse player. That's the irony of the whole thing. Jumbo Joe, 6'4", 220, played like he was Craig Janney.
Correct. And to this dying day, to even now, always on the periphery, always trying to set people up, always behind the net, not in front of the net. And in the big moments, you don't notice them. And I've always felt that way about Joe, even in his prime of his prime. Even when I watch the Olympics and those USA-Canada games and the Canada Olympic games, it's like, where's Joe? The puck's like a hot potato. He gets rid of it immediately. He doesn't stick his nose in there. He's always on the periphery. But again, he is going to go down as one of the greatest players to never win the cup. And this might be the last kick at the can. That's it.
I mean, he's of all the names we've rattled off so far, I think he's in the top three.
Connor in Pawtucket, are we underestimating the Blues? Are people underestimating the Blues?
The Felger guys, we're underestimating them. Like, I watch way too much Blues and Sharks. But listen, they are a tough team. Their goalie is the last two games he's played well, and we have to just come out scoring first. I mean, I saw that last game last night, and they came out firing, and the team looked well, and we just need to come out firing first. So you guys, let me know what you think. And
okay, Mass thinks this is going to be a 7-game war, a grind. You didn't even have a prediction yet. Do you know who's going to? Do you have a thought on who's going to win?
I mean, I'm leaning Bruins because I think the Bruins are a slightly better team. But honestly, if it goes 7, I'm not picking.
What scares you the most?
The physicality of the Blues and the size of the Blues,
even more than the goalie.
Yeah, the goalie doesn't scare me a ton. I think that honestly, I think it's a little bit of a mirage. And when I say mirage, I'm not telling you he sucks. I think part of it is their decor. They don't allow many shots. I mean, how many shots do they give up? And then when there is one and there's a rebound, you don't get anywhere near it.
No, and they're tough and battle-tested. A caller brought that up earlier. If you look at the teams that they've played so far, Winnipeg, Dallas, San Jose, you know, they've gone through a gauntlet here. Bennington's got them there. I do think Rask is the better of the two goalies. But I'm with Maz. I think this is going to be a tougher series than people expect.
To me, it's their decor. They're big. They're physical. They'll hit you like, you know, and if you collide with them enough times, you're going to suffer, not them.
I mean, just look this up. Shots allowed per game in the playoffs. Shots allowed per game in the playoffs. Interestingly enough, Tampa Bay was number one. They only allowed 27 shots a game and still got their ass swept.
Says a lot for the goalie, doesn't it?
Yep. Second was Carolina. Third is the Blues. The Blues allow 28.4 shots per game in the playoffs, if I'm reading this properly. Yep. 28.4 shots per game in the playoffs. That's third in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Bruins are ninth. They allow 32.4 shots per game, which, to your point, Maz, is it about their defense and they don't allow rebounds, they don't allow a lot of shots, and that's why Bennington's Bennington?
I mean, so that's what I think it is. I think it's about their structure and their defensemen because they're huge. Their defensemen are gigantic, and they have a couple of big forwards. So Maroon's gigantic, and he's given the Bruins problem. I remember I was at a game against Edmonton a couple of years ago where I want to say he scored a couple of goals. He was a complete pain in the ass. I think he has fought Chara. He's another one that will knock you right through the glass. Like, I just think that they are built to wear you down. That's how they want to play. They want to grind it and beat you up, and so that by game six, you just don't have it anymore.
Okay, we're almost... I'm sorry, Murray?
Well, just as an aside, I knew I was right. Paul Kariya never won a cup. He wasn't on that Ducks team that won it. He was in Nashville by then.
Very good. Okay, so good put one. Him on...
I thought he won it.
Put him on the list. Thornton or Kariya? Who's a bigger fail?
Oh, Thornton.
Thornton,
thank you.
Kariya's career was cut short because of concussions, right?
To me, you want to put Marcel Dion ahead of Thornton? Fine. You want to put Iginla ahead of Thornton? Fine. I might stop there. I'm not putting Lindros ahead of Thornton.
No, no. He's in the... right now, I told you, of the names we mentioned, he's in the top three.
He's three. He might be three.
Iginla's definitely up there.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. We're almost all Bruins and Blues today. A little bit of Thornton and the Sharks from last night. We will take one football breather here coming up. NFL rule changes coming and not coming, and how we feel about them right after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nash.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
So we play that final play, overtime in Kansas City, AFC title game, as the Patriots score on the opening drive of overtime to qualify for another Super Bowl. We play that because NFL owners had a final chance, to revise the overtime rules and give both teams a crack at the ball in overtime. And they decided what, Murray?
It didn't even get a vote. It died on the vine. It's like the owners finally had a real good thought for once and said, you know what? Let's not reward the guy who's 1-5 in conference championships as a head coach, and Andy Reid, who's butthurt at the fact that, oh, my superstar quarterback didn't get a chance to match Tom Brady. Oh, wow. How about your defense gets off the field when you have not one, but not two, but three chances on third down to stop Brady and the Patriots so you can get the ball back? Let's not reward that a-hole. Let's leave things alone. Let's not change the overtime rule because it's a whiny, stupid attempt to change it because, oh, we never got our chance and our star players should have the same chances that Tom Brady does. Wah, wah, wah. This made my morning. Finally, some clear thought from the owners in the NFL. I was so happy that this thing died this morning because I had convinced myself it was a formality. This thing was going to get pushed through.
Maz, your thoughts?
I'm glad the rule is staying the way it is. I don't want the game to be all 100% about the offense. And at some point, you've got to pay attention to your defense and hope they come up with a stop. And so, ultimately, defense won the Patriots the Super Bowl. So, you know, my point, I understand that we're talking about a different game, but my point is somewhere along the line, you're going to have to play defense to win, and I don't think Kansas City had the defense to win a championship.
I think Patriots fans and you, Murray, are so fraudulent on this.
And so are you. So I'll go, Mike, you want this change because it's anti-Patriot bias. You're sick of it. You're sick of it. So just be transparent about it. That's why you wanted this thing changed. And I know what you'll always say, too, because you were saying it at the time. Well, one of these days, it's going to go against you. You can't keep winning these coin tosses. Fine. And when they lose that, I'll get on the defense, and they will. That sucks. They didn't get a chance. If they lose it in overtime on a touchdown drive, like the way that the Patriots won it, that will suck. I'll get on the D then. But you're sick of it. You're sick of the Pats. You are. That's why you wanted this thing changed.
Oh, I'm sick of the Pats. There's no question about it. I just don't think it's the best format. I'm separating the two. I don't think it's unfair. Like, the rules are the rules for both teams. I'm not saying it's unfair. It's just not the best product. I don't know why the team with all these great quarterbacks, why they wouldn't want Brady and Mahomes to have both of a crack at it. Or Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Why wouldn't you, with all these great quarterbacks and all these great passing offenses, and you're about the sizzle of those passing games, and the way it all comes down to, you know, one drive in a lot of these games, why wouldn't you want Roethlisberger and Brady each to get a crack? It's just such a...
Because I still want defense to matter, because I'd still like to think that in the offensive-minded NFL, that defense still matters. And again, the Patriots had three third downs. Three. You should be able to make a stop on one of those if you have a halfway decent defense, but the Chiefs didn't. That's on them.
It's such a better product, and more the way the league's going to have them both get a chance. It's better. It's more fun. It's more entertaining. Where you're fraudulent is to say, well, then make a stop. How many stops did you make at the end of the game in Kansas City? How many did you make? You allowed 24 points in the fourth quarter. Make a stop. You didn't stop a nosebleed. You allowed 31 points in the second half. Oh, but make a stop. You didn't. 31 in the second half of that ball game. You allowed 258 yards, 227 passing yards, 15 first downs, 31 points, and 24 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And you're telling me make a stop?
And as I said, I would have ripped the defense that Monday.
Fraudulent.
No, not at all, Mike. Had the Chiefs won the toss, and shame on them, they didn't. The Patriots
shame
keep
on them.
Well, because I'm being facetious. Because of the Patriots keep winning the coin toss, so I should feel bad about that.
No.
If the Chiefs won the toss and they shoved it right down their throat and won the game, I would have been on the defense the next day.
The game came down to a coin toss.
Yeah, neat, great. Win one once. I don't know. Have luck on your side.
So you know what my answer to this is, which is always, why is this?
Play defense. The Patriots have never had to play defense under Tom Brady. They've won all three overtime coin flips. You've never had to be in a spot where, you know, your crap-ass defense some of these years got sent out there in overtime. You've never experienced that.
That so crap-ass defense, again, was the reason they won the Super Bowl.
So it's really easy to say, oh, stop somebody. You didn't stop anything in Kansas City that day. You would have gotten smoked if you had lost the coin flip.
So I'm just telling you, my stance has nothing to do with the Patriots. The NFC title game had the same scenario, and the Rams stopped the Saints, got the ball, and won the game.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Yeah. I know. No, I know you're talking about Patriots fans.
And I, at least I'm being transparent about it. I'm being a Patriots bobo about this, and you're being like anti-Patriots.
No, I told you. Like, I'm sick of them.
Okay. All right. Then good. I'm glad to hear you admit that.
But I also think it's really more sick of you. But that's just sort of semantics. I'm sick of the whole thing. It's true. It's just a better format. I mean, you just can't tell me that the way the league is going with the quarterbacks and the offense. And Murray, you know. If the Patriots had lost these coin flips and their suck-ass defenses were out there losing playoff games, you know what Patriots fans would be calling for. You know that's what they would do. But you're 3-0 in the coin flip, so it's like, make a stop!
Yeah, they
which
have,
is just preposterous.
They
it's
have
fraudulent.
Luck in the football gods and their suds. So that's an alternate universe you're talking about. Maybe if you find the black hole we can go through to find that alternate universe, maybe we'll find out about it then. Until that point, I'm glad that this didn't get changed. They didn't even vote on it. They got this one right.
Felga, but if the Pats lose the toss next, yeah, I might change my mind.
Yeah, let's go to the black. So we're going to St. Louis for barbecue. All right, so there's your Patriots Minute. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Helmet side is heads, the T-side is tails, helmet is heads, T-side is tails. New England again, you're the visiting team, it's your choice.
Heads.
Heads. Heads is the call.
Matthew Schletter.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
He called it.
New England wins the toss.
And he won it.
And we'll receive.
There it is. Great moments in Patriots history. Coin toss. Congratulations. Dug deep on that one. Boy, that Andy Reid, sure a moron. Fat idiot. Called heads.
See? The Patriots are just smarter than everybody else.
Meanwhile, the arbiter of fairness over there. Well, all you know, the stars should have a an equal chance. You know, I want to see Pat Mahomes get another chance. Maybe you get another chance this year. You didn't win the coin toss. Well, womp womp.
And Patriots fans actually think that Bill's that good, he could call it.
Maybe he's got a magnet in his shorts. I don't know. I wouldn't even put it past him.
I mean, they could certainly have rigged the thing. I mean, that's not beyond them.
It's funny you mention that because that's where I was going to go.
That's not beyond them.
I mean, you know, it's a loaded coin.
We looked it up. They've never lost an overtime coin toss under Brady. 3-0. The statistical odds of that are what, Maz? You did that. You did those numbers before.
I did. Yeah, it's 12.5%. Pretty good.
Yeah. Excellent by you. And of course the Patriots hit that number. Of course the Patriots pull it off. 87% chance against, and they do it. And you all think, whoa, just win the coin toss. Like, it's
except for that time with the Jets. Belichick won the toss and elected to kick.
They still won it.
They won the toss. Yeah. But he elected to kick.
Back to the wind.
Back to your phones. Carlos in Connecticut on the goaltending. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, what's up, guys? Really quick, Jimmy, I've never seen look anybody so dejected after a wrestling event after Charlotte Flair lost. I just wanted to let you know that was hysterical.
Thank you.
Back to the Bruins. You know, honestly, I might be the only guy on this, but I'm still fearful of Tuukka Rask. He may be on fire right now, but the old Tuukka Rask, I think 2013 still haunts me to this day. And I don't know. I have a feeling that he really still might blow it. So I just want to get you guys.
I mean, I don't think Carlos is alone. We had a call earlier in the show where the guy asked us, how long do you think Tuukka's leash is? Like, we're in November and Tuukka's, you lost 2 of 3 starts.
Okay, but don't you think this is a little, like, no matter who the goalie is, you're going to get that? Some of it is the position.
Yeah, but.
So he's playing out of his mind.
No, it's not just that. When you went to the World Series last year, you say, well, David Price has got it all figured out. We're all set. I don't have to worry about him. Or in the back of your mind, were you still with David Price? Like, this guy anytime could wet his pants.
No, at any time he could wet his pants.
So I think people feel that way with Rask.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, totally. And as well as, so yeah, I see what you're saying. That the guy's reputation
he still
does factor in.
Until he holds a cup up over his head, you're going to have
no
just
question.
That lingering thing in your
yep,
head.
Yep, no question. I mean, that's the only way it goes away, is that once you prove it, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone has to say, well, there was that one time he did win the cup, so I guess I can't say that.
So I'll say that. I mean, I just think him having lost the last time helps him this time. And I know it's 6 years ago, but still, I think there's something to be said for that. Going through it and losing and not succeeding helps you do it the next time. I mean, I'm in a good place with Rask. I'm confident he's going to be the better goalie. He's going to be one of the reasons you win this thing.
So the layoff is an issue. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I just think it's a long time to be away from a game. The good news is that the Blues are now going to have to go through not quite the same thing, but 5 days without hockey at this time of year is a long time.
Mike in Manhattan, what do you got for us, Michael? Okay, strong start. Mike, anything else?
No, he was ready to go.
No, what I wanted to talk to you about is
is Bruce Cassidy. And what I don't like is all this talk about the rust and the long layoff for the team. I think it brings out rust by discussing it. It's also silly to say that he's speaking with other teams about how to handle the layoff. Just say we'll be ready for the game on Monday night at 1 p.m.
Okay, so...
He's in Manhattan, all right.
But the thing about...
That call sucked. That might have been one of the worst calls in the history of the show.
Work with me. When Cassidy's asked about the layoff, he doesn't say, you know, we're just getting ready for Cincinnati. We're going to be there next week.
No, he's talked about the reality of
He's actually talked about the reality.
He answers the question.
He answers the question like a human being. Like, he's a human being and he's talking to a human being. That's actually how he chooses to approach it at the podium with the media. So I know you Patriots fans think he's an idiot because he does it that way, but that's how he does it. He actually tries to just act on a human level, no matter where he is. So he's engaged the thing about the layoff. That caller says you should just ignore it and say we'll be ready to go Monday the 27th at 8 p.m.
No, you can't ignore it. It's a reality.
It happened. It's a huge factor for all these teams coming off of layoffs.
And the bottom line is, do you think he's ignoring it with his team behind the scenes? Or do you think he's saying to them, fellas, it's a lot of time off. So you know what? We can't control that. When we're at practice, we're going to bust our ass and make sure we can keep our momentum as much as we can. Yeah, and don't kid yourself, Belichick does the same thing. He might not say it publicly and make it a point of discussion for his players in the locker room, but at practice or wherever else, you can damn well bet that he is sitting there going, we're going to approach it like we have to approach it to make sure we stay sharp.
The whole scrimmage thing, I don't know.
I like it. I do. I like it.
It's just a little too close. I don't know. I don't know why I don't love it. It's just a little... I wish it was more of a practice than a game. I don't know. What can I tell you?
I like
there's
it.
Fun and whimsy involved, and I know how you hate those things, but
it's part of
typically,
it. It's part of it.
Typically, I don't join you on that, but I'm with you on this. Like, just hold it at Warrior and don't have fans there. I know it's a good take.
I know. What is it?
Like,
it's
but like the practices are open to the fans.
It's a little too goofy.
It's going to be a big pep rally.
I like it. I like it. I'm the pep rally part I could live without. But honestly, I don't think it's a bad idea with 10 days off, 11 days off, to have them playing in front of a crowd that's actually engaged and maybe introducing some intensity into it. Because like the crowd will be into it.
Well, go there and boo the crap out of them. I mean, if you want to help them, right? Help them out. Yeah. Like, wee! I just like, let's not do a pep rally. Go there and throw crap on the ice.
Start a rescue suck chance.
Exactly. Like, help them get their edge a little bit. And it's just going to be all grab ass. I don't know. I don't love it. Mike and Danvers, go.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Listen, I know St. Louis is big. I know they're a big team. But I think, actually, in this case, I think it's going to work against them. I think, believe it or not, and you'll never hear this very often, but I think it's the Bruins' speed that's going to win them the series. I think if they move the puck quickly, I don't think St. Louis is going to be able to hit them.
Okay, some of them. I'm just going to stop you. That the Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand, and Bergeron less so, but Marchand and Pastrnak. Parayko moves for a guy who's 6'6", who's a freaking redwood tree. I mean, you think Char is big? This guy's almost there. Parayko moves pretty well. Bomeister, not as much. But can the Marchands and the Pastrnaks and the DeBrusks and those sort of guys exploit those big defensemen with their speed? A little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little. But again, all of a sudden now what? The Bruins are the 70s Canadians flying all over the place and can't hit them? That's what we're talking about here?
I don't think that's who you are.
Yeah, don't be stupid. The Bruins are going to get hit. They're going to get hit a lot. And they're going to hit a lot. I'm not telling you that, you know, I just think that it's the Stanley Cup final. You know, all of a sudden, like, the Bruins are flying around out there and so fast that they can't get hit? I mean, are we being stupid here or what?
It's a little much. Our buddy Mike in Woburn. Hi, Michael.
Mike, do you have a problem with Jerome Iginla?
Not really. Why?
Did you say he sucked during the Bruins playoff run or when he was on the Bruins?
Stu said he sucked, and I said he sucked when he was here, but not in his career.
See, he had, like, what, 60 points?
Oh, God.
He scored 8 game-winning goals.
They were all off his ass.
Skate.
He scored two game-winning goals in the playoffs. You want to talk about
off stuff. His ass.
Krejci was the guy that absolutely disappeared during that postseason. He had four assists. That was it, that whole postseason. Iginla is one of the great guys that didn't win through no fault of his own. Name a great player that Iginla played with out in Calgary. You can't.
I can't think of one.
You can't.
When they made the cup, who was the second? When they made the final last year that year against Tampa, right? Is that who they played?
I can't, Mike, I can't name. The only guy I can even think of is Gelinas, because he scored the goal that should have won the cup for him, but the league didn't have the balls to review it and overturn it. They actually scored in game six in overtime.
Leave it to you to remember the ref, but not any of the players.
Stefan Yell.
Mike, because that team had literally no, like, the guys I remember Reguer, because I love the guy, and I remember Kiprasov being out of his mind. They beat every number one team in the West that year, every one of them.
Okay, but the point is, Mike,
winners.
Ginla's on the list of great players never would have won a cup. He's there.
Right, but I don't want him talked about in the same breath as Joe Thornton, meaning, like, Ginla willed that team to that finals.
Fair enough.
He was incredible.
Fair enough. And I think Ginla was a great – I said before, I don't know if you're listening, I consider Ginla a winner. I just think he had winning qualities, and I, even though he never won, I consider him a winner.
I mean, really,
I consider Joe Thornton truly, and this is harsh, I'm sorry, but really one of the great losers in league history.
So this is the real indictment on Thornton, because, like, I use the same argument for Marcel Dion. What teams did he have? His team sucked.
You can't say that about Thornton.
Thornton had great teams. Thornton had good talent around him. They were loaded a lot of those years, and they underachieved or choked. Like, to me, that is the biggest indictment on Thornton, is that he had the teams.
We reset how we feel about this series after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.